Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Caixin Seneca Business Brief, brought to you by SubChina. Each week, we bring you a roundup from the world of business in China from Caixin, China's authority on business and financial news, as well as interviews with Caixin Global reporters and editors. I'm Kaiser Guo from the Seneca Podcast. It has been an eventful week in China, and we are going to try to get through the entire podcast without mentioning the new U.S. president once. It's been a good week for China's housing market, which has seen record sales highs. Potentially, it has also been a good week for China's long-suffering workers, as there are attempts now to address the problem of the long-hour work culture. And it is a positively great week if you want to learn the latest viral dance move and go shopping at the same time, as TikTok's sister app Douyin launches a new payment system. With all your latest business news, here's what's been happening in China this week. While China continues to embrace a cashless society, with transactions made through third-party mobile payment platforms reaching 59.8 trillion yuan in the second quarter of 2020, up 8.8% year-on-year, authorities are nevertheless determined that physical cash is not killed off completely, with recent fears that the elderly and other vulnerable groups may be victims of a digital divide. Last week, the People's Bank of China announced in the fourth quarter of 2020 it had penalized 15 companies and one public institution for not accepting cash. The fines ranged from 500 yuan, roughly $77, to half a million yuan, payable only in cash. No, just kidding. Hong Kong has imposed the city's first COVID lockdown in the Kowloon area, according to Bloomberg. The unprecedented step for the Yaomate and Jordan areas, known for their night markets, will affect about 10,000 residents. Until now, Hong Kong has been reluctant to adopt stricter measures such as lockdowns, out of concern they could ignite a crisis in a city that has already been rocked by protests. Hong Kong has seen 168 deaths from COVID-19, roughly half the toll inflicted on the city from the 2003 Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, or SARS, pandemic, which killed about 300 people in the early 2000s. A member of China's political advisory body in Shanghai has proposed setting up a system and standard to prevent worker abuse after the recent deaths of two young employees of e-commerce giant Pinduoduo Inc. In an attempt to address China's notorious 996 culture, the idea of working from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week, one of the proposals, suggested by Lu Jingbo, a lawyer and member of the Shanghai Municipal Committee of the People's Political Consultative Conference, has suggested Chinese labor law should clearly define what is meant by morning meetings, lunchtime training time, and some other activities which clearly extend employees' working hours. A district in China's southern megacity of Shenzhen will hand out 20 million yuan, roughly $3.1 million worth of digital currency to migrant workers. The catch is they will only be able to spend it if they stay in the city they are currently based in over the coming Chinese Lunar New Year holiday. The move comes as the Chinese government tries to discourage movement over what is traditionally the busiest time of the year for travel in the country, all in an ongoing effort to contain a resurgence of COVID-19. China's housing sales hit a record high in 2020 as post-lockdown demand surged. Property sales measured by area climbed 2.6% to 1.76 billion square meters, while by value they rose 8.7% to 17.4 trillion yuan, both the highest since the data series began in 1991, according to figures released Monday by the National Bureau of Statistics, NBS. The full-year increase reversed a plunge in the first 2 months of 2020, when year-on-year sales by area slumped 39.9% and sank 35.9% by value as large swaths of the country went into lockdown to control the virus. But many analysts are warning that the market is likely to be flat or even decline in 2021 as the government imposes more controls on home buyers and builders. In more record-breaking news, China's new wind power capacity also hit record numbers. The country installed a record 71.67 million kilowatts of new wind power capacity in 2020, according to official figures, more than half of it in December as developers rushed to get new projects up and running before a subsidy program expired. Some 47.05 million kilowatts of new wind power capacity went online in December, nearly double the 24.62 million kilowatts installed in the first 11 months of the year, according to data released by the National Energy Administration on Wednesday. And finally, TikTok may soon be expanding beyond dancing and viral videos. ByteDance, the short video app's owners, has launched its own digital payment platform, setting the stage for it to square off against China's tech titans like Alibaba and Tencent in the massive e-commerce market. Douyin, the sister app of TikTok for internet users in China, debuted its eponymous e-wallet Douyin Pay on Tuesday, putting itself in direct competition with Alipay and WeChat Pay by allowing users to purchase items from third-party vendors, buy virtual gifts for performers, and pay to watch their shows, as well as buy goods during live-streamed e-commerce sessions. Let's turn now to Doug Young, Caixin Global's managing editor, for a look into one story making the news this week. Doug, the story of the poisoning of the head of a popular game studio has been in the news for a while now. Oh, what exactly happened recently, for those of you who haven't followed the story?
Yeah, this is a story that's really got China transfixed for, I guess, about a month now, because the guy was poisoned on he was poisoned about a week before Christmas, and then he died on Christmas Day. So I'll backpedal a second and tell you what happened. The company that we're talking about is called Youzoo, Y-O-O-Z-O-O, and they're a mid-sized company in China in terms of gaming. They're not really well-known, but the thing that they are quite well-known for is having the rights to make a film out of a very, very popular science fiction series here in China called The Three Body Problem. And I think some of our listeners might even know about that because it's been translated into English and it's quite the sensation. Anyhow, so this gaming company had the film rights to this thing, and we'll come back to that in a sec because it's actually an important part of the story. But the company's founder and chief executive is a guy named Lin Qi. And then, like I say, about a week before Christmas, he suddenly started feeling ill and he was taken to the hospital and, you know, he was just getting sicker and sicker. And finally on Christmas Day, he died. And I think in the process of, you know, going down the tubes, the police actually disclosed that he'd been poisoned to death, but they didn't really give very much other information. Well, yeah, they didn't give much information beyond that, although they did say that the main suspect in the case, or one of the suspects, was someone surnamed Xu. And a lot of our sources told us it's this guy, Xu Yao, who he was like a chief legal counsel for the company, a former member of the board of directors. But surprise, surprise, he had also been put in charge of this film project for Three Body Problem.
So as this story has come to light, so have many bizarre and rather lurid details. Can you expand a bit?
Yeah, this is just, it's like something out of a thriller, you know, Cloak and Dagger, something or other. After all this happened, you know, we got Tyson actually had a really nice exclusive with a lot of the details in there. Apparently, this guy Xu, at least this is what the police have uncovered so far, was quite obsessed with the TV, the HBO TV series from the US called Breaking Bad, which I'm not a big fan of it, but I know the basic premise is, you know, a school teacher, I think he learns he has cancer and turns to drugs, you know, manufacturing and selling drugs to make sure his family is taken care of. But anyhow, so this the guy was supposedly fixated on this show, and then he apparently started buying all sorts of toxic poisons on the dark web and sort of mixing them at his home and testing them out on pets, like, you know, cats and dogs and other animals. And he finally got the right potions that he wanted, I guess. And he had it out for this guy Lin Qi, which for reasons I'll explain in a sec. But he apparently he fixed up a bottle of pills, and they were probiotics. And he apparently gave them to Lin Qi's secretary. And in this bottle of probiotics, there was one poison pill, literally a poison pill. It apparently had some sort of toxic substance that's associated with the puffer fish. I think a lot of people would know. Anyhow, the secretary, I guess, fed these pills to the boss one day at a time. And, you know, finally he took the poison one, and that's when he sort of went downhill. And again, all sorts of details. Apparently, they did a massive blood transfusion, something like 40 liters of blood, and got it out of, you know, got most of the poison out of his system. And they thought he was going to be saved. But then it turned out he'd also been poisoned with mercury, which apparently caused all his organs, or his heart and his liver, I think, to start bleeding. And you know, it was too much for him in the end. And then I guess one other thing I'll throw in just at the end is apparently this guy also has a love child, which at least according to some accusations or allegations that were made on social media afterwards, a woman has come forward saying she basically he fathered a child with her out of wedlock, because Lin Qi apparently has three children with his official wife who he may be divorced with. We're still not sure. But anyhow, this woman was not married to him, but apparently saying she had a baby with him, and the baby is only a few months old. It was just born. But you know, the woman is now saying, this child is entitled to equal part of your fortune as your other children. So it's a real, cliffhanger. And then I guess I didn't even get into it, but the whole thing surrounds this three-body problem. Prime suspect who poisoned him, he had been set to work on the three-body problem. And the stories that we've been told is he was essentially being sidelined on that project because he wasn't very good, and they were bringing in another guy to take over his spot. So that may have been what set him off and led him to allegedly do what he did.
Okay, Doug. Thanks for stressing that these are all just allegations right now. We'll wait to see how the actual investigation unravels. But meanwhile, what does this mean for the future of the three-body series?
You know, everybody wants this three-body problem to come out because it's just been hugely popular. I mean, it's about 10 years old. It's not a new series. And apparently the rights to it got all caught up in all sorts of litigation. And actually, the guy who's accused of poisoning him is apparently a crack lawyer who helped to sort of get the rights out of litigation. So that was sort of where he came into play. But, you know, now that this has happened, you know, the project was already running behind and was having all sorts of issues. And I imagine this is going to just put it even further behind, and God only knows when it'll come out. You know, we'd probably be lucky to see it in the next 5 or 6 years.
Well, that sucks because I really loved those books. And I am sure that David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, who made Game of Thrones, would have done it justice on Netflix. Anyway, thanks for telling us this sinister tale. And we look forward to having you back on the show soon.
Okay. Thanks, Kaiser.
And that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. The Caixin Seneca Business Brief is produced by Kaiser Guo and Nandini Venkata, with stories from the staff of Caixin Global. Special thanks to Li Xin and Marcus Ryder of Caixin Global. Thanks to Spring and Autumn for the music. For more on China, be sure to check out the other shows in the Seneca Network on SubChina. And for daily news and views, make sure to subscribe to SubChina Access for the daily newsletter. Find us at supchina.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Take care.